And to think many people thought that this 4P would be boring. Games 1 and 2 have already shown us that anything can happen in these NBA finals. And we're not done yet. We're going to talk about these controversial calls, LeBron's 51-point performance, and the case that Steph Curry is making for his first ever Finals MVP. We've got that coming up. Stick with us right after this.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
That's what the Warriors are saying to the Cavs.
Woo! Don't put the camera over here. Don't look at this yet. Don't look at this yet. It's scary.
Win. Yes. Obviously, I'm celebrating my Warriors win. Two wins to lock down the beginning of the NBA Finals. What's up, guys? I'm your girl, Christine, here on NBA Weekly at AfterBuzz. Thanks for joining us tonight, whether you're listening on YouTube or watching us live right now on AfterBuzzTV.com. Thanks for kicking it with us. I am joined by the lovely David.
David Bloom, that's right. David H. Bloom, Instagram, Twitter, you know it.
And someone who looks like Evan, but I'm not sure if it is Evan.
No, Evan is dead. It is Voldemort James. Voldemort James has been here. I threw on this jersey tonight, Bane, and all of a sudden, I formed Lord Voldemort. A wand came out my sleeve. I don't know what's going on.
Yikes. Well, a very somber tone on this end of the table. If you guys are watching us again on YouTube.com, thanks so much. Let me know what you think of Evan's look tonight. I'm pulling up the live chat right now.
Can you describe what does he look like? What's going on in the studio?
Well, if you guys are Harry Potter fans and know Lord Voldemort, our lovely Evan has dressed up as the LeBron version, I guess. That's what we're going for with this
Voldemort James.
All I know is I put this jersey on and then just transformed into Voldemort. All I know.
That
I
wand. That wand real too. It's real.
I don't know
got
what
a full
happened.
Wand.
You don't put me next to him.
We're
casting
scared.
Spells on these Warriors, man.
Well, it looks like you might need to help the Cavs whip up a spell for them because it's not looking too good. But before we get into it tonight, I do want to say what's up. There's so many people in the live chat right now. The conversation is blowing up. Thank you so much. A lot of talk about just the coverage of the final so far, which is interesting. Maybe we should start with that. It seems like a lot of people prefer the guys on TNT as opposed to Michelle Beadle and the crew that we have right now.
They're boring. They're boring. Like that's why TNT is the number one post game show. Like they're entertaining.
Right.
They do hot takes. They do hot topics. They talk about those things, and they're just better.
Exactly.
Sorry, guys. It's like with no like this because like just because someone's a great player doesn't mean they should be talking sports. I hate to break the news to people. You see how great Tony Romo is calling games. He's one of the greatest play callers ever, and he's it's his first year. He said that means he's born to do it. Like you can't just expect, well, man, Chauncey Billups is great.
Mm-hmm.
That 2004 run, spectacular. let's pay him an exorbitant amount of money to call. No. And people take Charles for granted, don't they? See, when Charles is gone, you miss him a little bit.
Yeah.
And Ernie's amazing. And
Ernie is amazing.
Oh, Ernie's the best.
He's the best at driving the conversation.
Oh, and he lets him get away with murder. And he lets them just cook.
But he brings the best out of them, too, because he doesn't take it, like, personal when they joke on him or, like, you know, he knows how to keep that going.
Because people don't know. That's Ernie's show. A lot of people don't know that because it's glossed over by, like, the three ballers. That's Ernie's show. Ernie runs all of them.
No, and he's a host.
Yeah, and he just lets them just, you know, you have your moments. Let them get all the Emmys and y'all do y'all's thing. And
yeah.
I'll just sit here and just
let them do their thing. But, look, there is no better basketball show on than Inside the NBA on TNT. Nowhere
close.
Ours.
I'm kidding.
when we go on live television.
Right.
We don't have the benefit of being on every freaking basketball night. If we were, then it'd be a different story. Baltimore James in the building.
Yeah. Silver Watcher 30 in the chat makes a good point that SNL. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Dang MQ. That SNL has impersonated the TNT guys. They've kind of become this like pop culture like fixture within the basketball commentary. So
because they're amazing, they're entertaining to watch. They're funny. They have a great chemistry. They have more. It's not just they sit around. They have segments. Everything about that show is good.
They bring
There's
in, they
nothing
bring,
bad.
They bring in people's live tweets. They do photoshops. They bring in like people from like local such and such hot dog company, you know, has this food and we just give it to people. Like that stuff, mm-hmm. it's fun, you know. And then even Kenny's Pictures, which is a very underrated aspect of that show, he breaks down the game. He simplifies the game for the mm-hmm. novice. And I watched their halftime show today and they're just blowing through replays.
Exactly.
Expecting everybody to know what's going on.
Right.
But Kenny breaks down the game as for a novice. He's using like real live people. I'm stunned that they don't even try to get them in like and trying to work something out. Cause I think ABC thinks they have the market corner for the finals, but their post game and pregame is garbage.
Yeah.
It's garbage, y'all. Y'all people, garbage.
I mean, I'm not even watching the
no.
pregame.
No.
Postgame,
no.
I tune in for all of like 5 minutes and then I'm kind of out. So.
But Mike Breen, Jeff Van Gundy, and Mark Jackson, oh, they're off the chain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Their commentary, I live for
amazing.
It.
Amazing.
Yes. They're like our Ernie and Shaq, but like within the color commentary world. But let's get into this game. Let's go back to game one and talk about it because I feel like that was really the story in this first part of the finals because game two today, you know, the Dubs came out with a win. But, I mean, I felt like it was a relatively, like, slow-ish game.
Yeah.
Like, we'll get into it, but, like, the Cavs were kind of keeping up with the Warriors, but then they really just put it away in the fourth.
It was catch-up the entire game.
Yeah, it was a catch-up game that I never got the feeling that they were ever going to push past that 8 or 9 point lead that ballooned to like 18 at a point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Game one was different though, because game one, like Steve Kerr is really good at adjustments, because game one, it was LeBron James' pace. That's what makes LeBron James so great. Like a lot of people don't understand, this man dictated a whole game by himself. You notice how slow the game was. At one point, they're up 11, then they give it up. Game two was a Warriors game. Steve Kerr made adjustments on the tempo. He's like, I'm not going to let James slow the game down this time.
Yeah, speaking of, you know, playing at LeBron James' tempo, they were letting him get to the cup, like, easy to...
You say they were letting him, huh?
They
were letting him be. That's what everybody thinks.
They were letting him. No, he was dominating. I'm going to give him that because
LeBron
at one point
that.
In the third, he was so hot from three. Like, it was his show.
Mm-hmm.
It was something to behold. And truthfully, you know, anybody, a real Warriors fan should know, honestly, like we got lucky with that first win.
They know. Like, y'all know when you get away with one. Whether you, a win's a win, but you know when you get away when you're like, whoo, okay, we got away with that.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Tonight's like, you're like, that's Warriors basketball. Game one, boy.
Mm-mm, that was not Warriors basketball. That was Cavs basketball.
David Blum, but they get away with murder, man.
That was Cavs basketball. They shouldn't have won that one.
Oh my goodness. They did, but they shouldn't have won that one.
There were so many controversial parts to this game. We're going to try and get through all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, we spoke a lot. We've just spoken about LeBron's 51-point performance. It's such a shame that he put up those kind of numbers and still lost. I mean, it was not in his control at the end.
No.
But, like, you got to feel for the guy because tonight he looked gassed trying to keep up with the pace. And I would be, too, after putting up 51 and then the emotional, mental taxingness of this game and then probably being frustrated as hell by the way it ended, that has to take a toll on LeBron.
Yeah, it's hard to quantify what 51 points is in a National Basketball Association game in the NBA Finals. Because I'm always at like a bar or somewhere listening to people talk about how LeBron James is not that good and that's what I got to deal with all the time. But so I break it down to something that people might understand. Bloom, you might be able to get with this. You played a regular basketball game. Out in the park somewhere. You walk down the street, okay. So, have you ever scored 51 outside?
I've never scored 51.
Okay.
On my own.
Okay.
Versus a group of guys with another group of guys. Uh-huh. I've never dropped 51.
So, that's just regular basketball.
That's not NBA basketball. That's not even NBA.
Oh, so what you're trying to say is it's hard to do, right?
Oh, it's hard to do.
Okay.
That's so many. That's how many makes is that? Hit me up with that.
With eight rebounds and 8 assists on 60% shooting.
Against the best team of basketball.
And still lose.
And you lose
because, and my problem with it is, like, not the scoring. He's always going to get his points, but the refs can't be the reason why a team loses. Cavs, Warriors, anybody. Even if the Warriors lost that way, I'd still be saying the same thing today. I wouldn't be like, yeah. I'd be like, they caused the Warriors in the game. Refs are supposed to be seen, not heard, man. They're not supposed to impact the entire course of a series. And that charge call?
Let's get into it because that's a clearly upsetting NBA Twitter.
Oh my God.
You know, every other tweet being about J.R. Smith and a meme, it was about the controversial calls throughout this series. There were some tonight as well.
A little bit.
More so in game one, heavily favoring the Warriors. But at the same time, you know, the Warriors got to the Cavs got to the line a lot as well. But the call, I mean, the call on LeBron, the charge call that was reversed. What did you guys think? Like, watching it, just giving it the eye test, seeing it the first time around. Did you catch that?
Because
when I first saw it, I didn't realize how big of a deal it was until after the fact.
Yeah, let me just... Could I educate him real quick?
Drop some, you know,
I'm me educate him. Okay.
Let get the education.
The way...
School's in session.
The way sports works is if you make a call, all right, and you go back and look at that call, and you can't tell, and you're like, hey, you know, it could be this, it could be this. You go with the call on the floor. Now, some could say, oh,
every
yeah.
time.
Okay, that's a block. Yeah, no, it's a block. Or some could say that's a charge. It's a really tough call. His foot was sort of sliding. He was almost set. It was so tough to call if he was actually set. And he was definitely out of the circle. No question there. But right. if he was actually set, it's so tough to call. Mm-hmm. And they called it a charge. In that case, you keep it a charge. It's just horrible that I was watching the game yelling at my TV multiple times because that was doesn't matter what it was. You called it a charge, you keep it a charge,
period. So like, so this is the thing. Here goes another thing that's gonna blow people's minds, because that's all I've been hearing all week, is he was moving. I want to let y'all know the letter of the law.
Hit up with it.
You do not have to be stationary to get a charge call. Guys, y'all need to watch more basketball. Y'all need to go Google the rule book. Everyone has been, some reason, someone told these people one day that you have to be feet planted, parallel to the basket, standing up with your hand. That's not true.
That's like the more popular understanding of it, though.
But that's the wrong understanding.
Right.
It's about defensive position.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James beat Durant to the spot that Durant was getting to. He knocks LeBron James over. It's a charge. That's why it was called a charge. We got to stop trying to make this an interpretation. The rule is the rule. The rule's the rule. He had defensive position.
Can you, like, wave your wand while you're...
I was like, Avada Kedavra. That's the kill. That's the kill spell, Bean. I want to kill everybody in Oracle Arena with a spell.
Yeah, spell.
You're not literally. I ain't crazy. Listen,
No,
it's like defensive position. It's not the sliding of the feet thing. He slid his foot and had defensive position. And they're like, reverse call.
No.
The timing of that call, it obviously shifted the momentum of the game.
Yes.
And potentially of the series. That's what everyone is really calling right now. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, because if you know they're winning game two. Golden State's winning game two. Let's just stop. Like, they winning game two. But if Cleveland wins game one, we got a series now.
I picked them to win. If any game that they were going to win, it was going to be that one.
Because the Rockets series, and they're just, you know, that was a tough series. It was. Golden State had to play their best to win. And I was like, that's the game to get up on them.
Right.
When they're in Oracle, just kind of like relaxing for a minute. Houston hit them with a lot. And they're all emotionally high. I was like, this is the game. And that was it. You see, the Cavs were running the show. And then that call, I just don't like when calls determine outcomes, because they determine the outcome of the game, though. They get that. They have, they're up two with the ball with 39 seconds left, 40 seconds left.
Even if you don't score, that's the Warriors get the ball. If they make it two or even a three, that's last shot.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, they're either coming down for the 2-4, but they're not. But LeBron's going to hold the ball, and maybe force a foul. Like, it's one of those things where Cavs are in complete control of the game.
They had it. They had the entire game right there. And that call, which you're right, a ref shouldn't go and, like, dictate the game. He should just make the calls. And that was not the call to make. And that just, it changed the entire momentum of the series. The Warriors got the ball back. I know Steph Wynn got that and one, right? Just, it put them
terrible
up.
Terrible defense by Kevin Love, by the way.
Horrible.
I want to ask you guys, because before we got on air, we were talking about this, and I mentioned that Steve Kerr said in a post-game interview that he had seen that call before and that he understands why that rule was put in place. My question is, do we think, and the chat question too is, do we think that the NBA should consider a policy change considering how big this call was?
What's interesting about it is they shouldn't need a policy change, because the rule is they can only review it and change it if he's in a restricted circle.
Exactly.
Like, that's what's killing me is they did something they're not allowed to do.
But can't you review in the last 2 minutes?
No, but you can't review. Like, the call, a charge block call can only be changed if he's in the restricted circle.
Exactly.
That legitimately is written down in the NBA rule book. Mm. So what you did was you just did away with the rule. Like, you can't, when I found out that's the actual rule, I go, wait a minute, so they can't even change it at all? Like, if LeBron James roundhouse kicked him in the head, they couldn't have changed the call.
Mm-mm.
Legitimately, that's literally, it's in the rule. But I was like, oh, tell me that's not true. Like, tell me they just did something. Like, that means they get, the refs get too emotional, man. They get too intimidated by these players.
The word impulsive was thrown around a lot, especially with those two calls.
You look at these players, because these players are all babies. All these NBA players nowadays, they're babies. They're very rich, young millionaires, so they get coddled. They've been coddled since they could crawl. Soon as you can put a basketball in a hoop at AAU, they start coddling you. They start giving you free stuff. So a lot of these players don't ever get put over their knee in somebody's knee and spanked. That's what it is. So these refs need to go over and be like, yo, bro, listen. That's it. Get up out of my face. If you get in my face one more time, I'm going to tee you, then I'm going to tee you again. Mm. No ref does that. The old school refs did that. Crawford did that. Javi did that. When I was growing up, they wouldn't play that, man. I watched Draymond punk refs all the time.
He's gotten his fair share of calls.
Oh,
though.
My God. This dude punks refs. Oh, I'm talking about, you're not even allowed to talk the way he does the refs. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to cuss at a ref. And these refs are like, okay, Draymond.
No,
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Coward to him.
Oh, they're scared of that dude, man. I'm telling you, Joey Crawford would have threw that dude out.
Joey, amazing. No, Joey Crawford didn't take anything. You talk to him at all, you're gone.
Yeah,
not even a tee. You're gone.
I miss those days. Like, you can't just say whatever you want to say to a ref because, and they get all nervous. They're gonna make a call they shouldn't make, and they're like, I watched Draymond bark at refs. But I'm like, bro, you ain't barking at Steve Javi and Joey Crawford like that. You ain't doing that, man.
They are throwing you out. That's like early 2010s basketball.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, LeBron still, it was still in the finals there.
But I just don't know I don't know what happened. I don't know if the commissioner says something. Like, yo, let these guys cook. It's good for TV. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
You need to run the tape, Chris Ding. All your boy does is bitch at refs all the time. And they just go,
amen. Nothing.
And they just ignore him. That's all they do.
Oh, my goodness.
And then what's your boy Ty Lue got a tech today? He got a tech today.
He did. That one was very quick as well.
Oh.
They're little.
Y'all, we just broke a wheel.
We're getting
if you can't
really
see it, we just broke a wheel.
Up.
Magic!
Speaking of those who can't see, just want to shout out our iTunes listeners really quickly. Be sure to rate, comment, and subscribe to our podcast.
Yeah.
It's available on iTunes. Be sure to give us 5 stars. Let us know what you love about our show, what you want us to talk about. That's a great platform. We want to hear from you. And if you guys write a really cool comment, I'll try and read it on the show. So be sure to check us out on iTunes. Let's move into the end of the game with two moments that, I mean, you can arguably say are both reasons. I mean, with George Hill missing the free throw and J.R. Smith forgetting the score and dribbling out the last possession in regulation. Ooh, I don't know what was talked about more on Twitter.
But the thing was, J.R., I mean, he got the ball, but that was smart because they were up, right? The Cavs were up, right?
I'm Bloom being facetious right now.
But they were up, right?
Stop,
but that's the
it.
Thing. Like,
that's
107-107 means we're winning, right?
Well,
I assume so.
Everybody in Oracle Arena knew the score and knew where we were, except for J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
And LeBron was in utter disbelief, just like everyone else. I pulled up some really funny memes. Like I said, for our iTunes listeners, be sure to check us out on YouTube later and check out these memes, too. But we see LeBron here holding a baby, kind of playing at Drake.
Poor Drake.
Who also had a really rough week. Drake, let us know, is that your baby? Your time to respond to Pusha T is closing.
Yes.
Oh,
it is actually closed this week.
We might have to call this one.
But so we've got that first meme here. Moving on to the next one. The opposite angle of LeBron pointing out to J.R. Smith.
At the clock and everything. Just
that
pointing.
The game
just
is
towards
that way.
The basket.
Just go.
The basket is that way. Oh my God. Next meme. Again, the score.
The score.
107-107.
What I mean.
I thought we were up.
JR,
I thought we were winning.
Yeah, JR acted like he was in some kind of third world country with no scoreboard and just. There's nothing if anybody been to an NBA game, you know they got really big giant scoreboard
everywhere.
Yeah.
Turn here, you can look in any direction and the score's right there.
Staples got it like wrapped around
exactly.
The arena.
JR is a shooter though, don't you know the clock, don't you know how to look up, and you know he's hit clutch shots before. It amazes me at this moment that the score and the time escaped him.
And what bothered me the most about JR, like everyone makes mistakes and all that other stuff, and you know it gives people a pass. But the thing about JR is like it wasn't in the heat of the moment. Time stop, free throw. You look up. Okay, how much time? How many times we got? How many timeouts we got? What's the score? okay, cool, we got the situation. Everyone right. does that.
Yeah, that's a how I know, to collect
that's
yourself.
That's how I know he's on. He's just in his own, on another world, because everyone does it just subconsciously. Everyone as even as fans.
Yeah.
What did I do when I seen that? Okay, George Hill needs two, he goes up one. Okay, then Warriors probably have about 5 seconds to get a shot off. Exactly. Like, I'm doing that as a fan, so he just wasn't paying attention. Now, he owned it. He didn't own it. He owned it after everyone read his lips. Bro, you got to own that kind of stuff, man. You got to own those moments, mm-hmm. man.
He came out initially saying he thought they were up, but then after said he didn't know what the score was. Yeah,
don't do that. Just own it. You look crazy, bro. You know social media. You know how they can super slow-mo down everything. You know they probably got the audio somewhere, NBA tracks and all. Just say you did it, man. Everyone knows you did it anyway. And it's really bad to me, but it's still not the game, though. That's not the game.
It's not necessarily the game, but like in that instance right there,
boom.
I would rather see... All right, okay.
LeBron James.
Put it up, pass to LeBron, or, you know, the smartest thing, take a timeout.
Yeah.
You got one of those left. Take
a timeout.
Reset, and look, give LeBron a shot. Okay, if he misses, fine.
Yeah.
That's okay. Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been mad if he did that.
That's basketball.
I wouldn't have been mad if he took it up himself.
No,
I wouldn't have been mad at anything. Like, anything but that.
Don't dribble out the basketball when it's tied in a finals, and you know if they're going to overtime, they're losing the game. I saw he missed that. Screaming at my
first
TV.
First thing I said, it's a wrap.
That's over. My mom walks in like, what's wrong? I'm like, Mom, JR's an idiot. I'm so sorry.
It's over.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that the reverse call was really what people are saying to change the series. And I know this was just one mistake. But I got to say, in terms of like affecting team chemistry, I think that was a big one.
Yeah, they were deflated.
It's deflating, number one. Number two, for someone like LeBron, who I feel like is the driving force behind the mentality that they go into with this.
Yeah.
Seeing him that visibly like pissed,
yeah.
He has to come to terms with everything and then shift gears and get JR confident again to trust each other and trust the game and to keep pushing despite that very obvious and embarrassing blunder. Like, as a team, you take that L with him.
Yeah, I was saying this to Bloom. I was like, if they get swept really bad, they'll put that down as the worst blunder in history. I mean,
yeah, oh, they will.
It's right or wrong. I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
Exactly.
Like I said, I don't even, like, I was like, in the heat of the moment, I was like, oh, JR, you gotta, like, no joke, I was like, you got to call a timeout there. And what's he doing? It's like, okay, OT, whatever. Then they got blown out. Then I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. This is going to be bad for JR. Like, because if they win in overtime, no one's talking about this.
No, that's fine. Right. Nah.
It's a little footnote. They're probably even laughing about it. Man, JR over there ran in the clock. Like, oh, man, I thought we were up. It had been like a joke, you know what I mean? But when you get blown, the door's blown off you in overtime.
But usually, though, when you make a mistake and it gets sent to overtime, you lose in that overtime.
Every time.
I've never seen someone, like, take a bad shot at the end of a game. Or like, oh, overtime. Oh, we're just going to win it there. Yeah. You don't win it there.
Or miss a layup, like a game-winning layup. And you're like, oh, God, we missed it. Overtime. Like, you just get deflated. It's just how it goes, man.
That's just how it works. Like,
the last thing I want to point out about game one that I noticed was that it was very chippy in terms of tension on the court between players. We saw a little jawing back and forth between LeBron and Steph Curry, and Klay kind of joined in there. That ending kind of, ejection of Tristan Thompson after the Sean Livingston play. Yeah. Just going back into people's expectations of this series, like, it's not... I don't find it boring.
No.
I feel like it's exciting. And seeing the tension between the players, to me, adds that extra element. Like, okay, this isn't just another round for you. It means something still.
I just like when media and fans are wrong. I just like that everybody always talks about how the weak the East is, right? Was it this playoffs, the last playoffs, when the Rockets got blown out by 41?
This playoffs, by the Warriors.
Oh, it was, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Oh, so that weak team that the Cleveland are and the weak people they played all year and how overrated Boston is, how come they have not got blown out by 41 yet? It's because they are a team that's worthy to be with the Warriors. That Rockets team got the doors blown off them twice. By, like, was it 36 and then 41?
Something like
that. It's interesting that that's your take, considering the narrative all season has been about how awful this team is and their supporting cast.
But my thing is they always say, no matter what LeBron does, the East is weak. He's only gotten there 8 straight times because the East is weak. And I'm always like, Boston wasn't weak.
Mm-mm.
That's true.
Boston
wasn't weak.
And y'all could listen, as bummy as Toronto was beating West teams. They had a winning record against West teams. I just think it's interesting that everyone thought this series was going to be a wash. And we got a call away from a 1-1 series. You know what I mean? It's like potentially a 1-1 series.
No, the Cavs are more in it than I thought they would be.
It's more competitive than when they had Kyrie.
Exactly.
Which is really weird to me. It's really,
last year,
weird.
Last year we saw it and we're like, okay, they're losing for sure. They lost in five. Like, I mean, this year, like, I could actually see them taking more than one
game.
Isn't
that crazy?
That's insane. With this team?
I didn't think. I never thought I'd think that at all. Oh, yeah, spoiler alert. Yo, Klay Thompson and Steph, y'all ain't about that life. Y'all need to stop messing with LeBron like that. Y'all ain't about, y'all ain't getting mean, and you know they ain't. Okay. And it's not because they light-skinned either. I ain't even talking about they light-skinned. That's not even what it is. One of my best friends is light-skinned. I'm just saying, everyone probably assuming because I said they ain't about that life, but y'all
need to...
You
looking light-skinned right now. Y'all need, listen,
this is about the only time. Y'all need to stop acting like y'all about that life with LeBron because the bright lights is on. That boy from Akron, he beat the brakes off both of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Klay over here jawing way back by the spectators. I go, bro, you better stop. Boom, I know you're thinking the same thing, but you better stop talking to the cat. Boss, I said, Steph as big as you, Bean, and you are the perfect, cute, petite size of a lady. Steph is the same size as my beautiful lead host.
Stop. I'm going to stop you right there because put some respect on Steph Curry's name.
I love Steph, but he little.
He's a tiny guy, but you know what is not tiny? His game, because he showed up big tonight.
Open his gums.
33 stop. Points.
He's hooping. He was hooping.
He was hooping tonight. Game two was real. I think that was really the story. Just Steph, honestly, is making his finals MVP case. And listen, a couple people came for me on Twitter talking about what the narrative was going to be. And I said that. I said Steph is coming for y'all to put some respect on his name.
Yeah, he should have had that over Iggy the one time. Y'all got people got a little too cute about that Iggy stuff. That was, that was Steph's before.
I'm so glad you brought that up because... You know, that series highlighted his value. Obviously, he was finals MVP for how he was able to defend LeBron.
Ish.
God. Not having him in this series, it's interesting how, you know, Sean Livingston off the bench tonight, JaVale McGee gave good, really productive minutes. And they're kind of rotating that assignment on LeBron. And even Steph, for as much as we give Steph shit, has been on LeBron. He's been defending him.
He's been what, Ben?
He has. Whether successfully or not, he has been going directly at LeBron.
Lord Voldemort James will not let you sit here with a straight face. He's on him what? He's on him.
But I'm saying at least he's not running away from him. Like everyone claims that he runs away from the other team's best player and he's always being hidden. At least he's going for him.
He's taking his chances.
He's taking the assignment and trying.
He's dropping 33 and he's draining them from the parking lot.
Yeah,
they're not playing that parking lot defense.
See, David, they don't
that
get
you
my
rave
memo.
About so much.
They don't get my memo. It's not my fault that no. Listen, y'all need to start watching this show. It's called Parking Lot Defense. I told you, you meet Steph Curry in the parking lot. You go with him in the shower. You go with him in practice. You go with him everywhere, and then you meet him on the court. But nobody wants to listen to me. That's fine.
That's
though.
How you guard him.
And
that's how you prevent the
and
shots.
And he'll keep raining threes from the parking lot. That's fine with me, man. Don't listen to me. That's cool.
From anywhere, bruh. He just. It's effortless. Bruh. And when you're feeling that effortless, you can
effortless.
Go...
Steph
effortless.
I had Kennedy to ask.
My lord, y'all. Like, yo. Effortless. But when you're feeling that... I'm going to keep it with effortless. Effortless basketball.
Yeah.
You can guard anyone.
Yeah.
You can. When you have that much adrenaline rushing through you, like you can go guard like, all right, LeBron, come here. Katie, get off.
I'm not going to let y'all on Sunday night say Steph's guard LeBron James. Y'all better stop this right now, man.
Everybody is
when you drop 33... And you're hitting like 9+3s. You can go and do that.
Front running.
One person who's also been like semi-absent from this NBA narratives that have been flying around is KD. The only person who I've seen so far really come for him is like Stephen A. I just want to bring that up talking about like where have we really seen his impact on this particular series just yet.
I love these sports pundits, man. They make a lot of money. They make a lot of money doing what they do. And I watch them like all the time. And I don't watch them just because I think they're good. I watch them because they get on my nerves most of the time. So I try to do the opposite of what they do.
Right.
Because like in all seriousness, it really gets on my nerves. Because 5 seconds ago, you're doing everything but asking KD out on a date.
Right. He's the second greatest player in
the world. Yeah, that's you, Stephen A.
He overthrew LeBron James last year in his finals MVP performance.
Now all of a sudden, his impact's not... Wait, what? He's still averaging like 30.
I mean, he put up 26. First game one and game two, actually.
That's 26 more than you would have had with anyone else.
Yeah, 26.
Like,
that's
come like, on.
No, what if you have like Iggy 26. In there? If he's healthy a couple years ago, he's probably dropping like 15. That's more points. Even if he's not like dunking on people and like making a splash.
I can't stand
it. His impact is seen as the reason why they're not blowing 3-1 leads
exactly.
anymore.
Exactly. That's why he was brought over. He's just there. Him being there is a problem.
Uh-huh.
You have to always account for him.
One more amazing super megastar
that you have to deal with.
And even yet, I still don't think we've even seen the full potential of his value yet on this team. We're only 2 games in because we really saw that cachet in KD game three when he hit that shot in Cleveland last year. So I feel like we're due for another really big Kevin Durant
fighting. He will. Just watch. Just watch out. He will.
I can't stand that, man. That dude's legacy is already cemented. That's why these sports people, they always put these narratives out there to make fans start. That's why everyone regurgitates the same thing. If you talk to people, like when they debate you, they regurgitate what these guys say because they have this huge platform and they build this narrative. Like, this dude's legacy is already cemented. He's already going into the hall. He was going into the hall before he went to the Warriors.
You didn't need a ring to go to the hall.
Scorer.
Guys, we have to stop. Guys, there's never been a KD for all these people out there. Like these old players back in the day, they've never seen anything like him.
That's why it's kind of hard.
He's as tall as Wilt. He's faster than Wilt. He can jump higher than Wilt. He can shoot better than Wilt. He's Wilt, but better. Mm-hmm. Like, we guys got to stop, man.
No, he's going to go in the hall, the part of the hall that's the unfair part of the hall.
Yeah.
He's so long.
He's too much, dude.
To be able to shoot like that, you can shoot over anyone.
I can't
stand.
I heard him say that too. RC, I was like, wait, what?
It tweaks my ear up a little bit. And you know, even in the commercial surrounding the finals, that line J. Cole says about, like, this is a time where legacies are cemented, which we know about this time of year. But it's so interesting. I think this season, I'm noticing it now more than ever, how much the sports media has a play in just pushing the certain narratives that feed this 24-hour sports machine.
Yeah.
How much money goes into the finals and the programming that's going to be taking place over the next 2 weeks while it goes on. It's like they have to keep the hot takes coming.
And they
don't realize like how much that is like driving public perception.
That's everyone's idea, though. That's everyone's idea that KD's not helping when KD can have less space than me and Lord Voldemort over here and drain a shot in your face.
Right in your face.
Yeah.
Like, easy. Like, right when the Cavs about to make a run, what does he do? Low block, fade away, right on George.
Exactly.
Hill.
Yeah.
And he takes the steam up. Those are the little tiny things that the prolific, like, Stephen A. Smith, he knows better than that. And I don't know why he says that. It's like, he does that so Durant can drop 80. Like, this is not for you, bruh. Like, he's playing for him. Hate to break the news to you. He's finding out the game for himself. He's not trying to drop 70 points so you got something to talk about on the first take.
No. He wants those rings.
Yeah, that's what it's all
about. Let him get those rings.
Y'all don't realize that? He went to Golden State to play with a team. Y'all gotta back off that, dude. That's crazy. I've been hearing that, too. I've been hearing a lot of people saying that. Not just even that. Talking about KD having it. He's having a terrible playoffs.
Right.
Dang.
I'm like, let's pump the brakes, shorty.
Dang. I would kill to have that playoff run. Whew.
For real. Well, I mean, all in all, the Warriors did what they had to do. First two games at home. Yeah. I mean, I'm not terribly surprised that they won. No. We both kind of alluded that we would have given the Cavs game one, but they didn't take it.
Yeah, but game one that surprised me how close it was. But I thought they would take both those games, you know, and they did.
Shifting gears to games three and four back in Cleveland, I mean, it's a no-brainer that these are must wins. You don't want to go down 3-0 and then possibly even be swept.
Correct.
Do we see that happening? Yeah. I forget our takes in the beginning, but I had Warriors in six.
It's just one of those things where they did their job. You have not really lost the series yet because you have not lost at home yet.
Right.
But you know you have to get one. You know you have to get, what is it, five? What is it, five? Yeah, five or seven. Like, you have at Golden State, no matter what, you got to get five or seven. I'm always a fan of getting five, but that means they got to win three in a row. But
what do they have to do to even take just game three?
Guys got to hit shots. And I don't care what your stat line is. People get caught up in stat line. I don't care if you had 60 points. How many shots did you take? How many big shots did you make? I don't care how many points Kevin Love had in game one. I know how many threes he missed.
Right.
Was it 1 for 8?
Yeah.
Like, can we stop giving people props for stats? He missed one. He was 1 for 8. If he hits two of them, we're not even talking about 2-0.
We're talking about 1-1.
Talking about 1-1. Like, so that's what they need to do. They got to hit these shots, though, man.
They also need more production from their supporting cast. I know we sound like a broken record saying this over and over, but they do, because Larry Nance tonight, 12 minutes. You felt his presence in terms of, like, rebounding, but he only contributed 2 points. Green with 6 points, holding Calderon with 4, like Clarkson with 2, and he was on the court for 8 minutes. Like, you're not getting production from everyone else, and at this point, like, we saw the exhaustion on LeBron.
That makes me
mad. He was tired tonight.
He was tired. He was really gassed. You go from 51 to 29 tonight, and how are you going to sustain that without any help?
Yeah.
It makes me mad how these players are playing. Like, Rodney Hood in Utah could score.
Yep.
Larry Nance and Jordan Clarkson in LA could score.
Yep.
But now they're put behind LeBron. They're like, nah, we just don't need to help you. Like, LeBron can't drop 51 every single night. Because, I mean, that's what he has to do. If they do what they did in game one, they could win several games. But that's so difficult.
Yeah.
You need to be able to score 30 points and have your supporting cast take you the rest of the way.
Yeah, because people acting like what he did tonight was a bad stat line. He had 30,
29 points.
He had 30, like 10 and 9 or something like that. Something crazy. Something stupid. That's career numbers for people.
I wonder at all if you guys think the narratives, like we said, how much it drives public perception, how much it gets to the players. Because think about yourself as a player on this Cavs roster, hearing how much you're being carried by someone else, but you're also expected to show up every night, do your part, but then you're also told like how not good you are in comparison to the lead of your team. I know I didn't get a chance to read it yet, so I don't want to speak to it, but I know there was an article circulating around today. I think it was Rodney Hood talking about how difficult it is for him to play alongside LeBron. So I'm wondering how, like I said, mentality shifts with how the series is going, how that affects the other players who are expected to show up.
David Blow, I can't stand these basketball players, boy. I can't stand them, man. Oh my goodness. Multi-millionaire. Like when Chris Bosh, like, it's hard to play with LeBron. It's so hard.
People said the same thing about Kobe. Like,
the thing is, Kobe's different. Kobe don't pass.
No, Kobe don't get the ball.
See, that one always made sense because Kobe has the most missed shots in NBA history. Hey, LA fans, Kobe Bryant was great, but he's a gunner. I don't even want to hear them two in the same breath. LeBron, hard to play with LeBron? These dudes, Rodney Hood, you're trying to make excuses, bro, because you're playing like doo-doo. You know why you're playing like doo-doo? Because there's no expectations in Utah. They got Mormons and they got no alcohol after 8 o'clock. Oof. That's real talk. Mm-hmm. That's all they have to do there, bro. That's it. You around Mormons and you ain't got no pressure.
Exactly. That's why they look at Rubio and Come Mitchell on, like man. They're all stars.
You see?
Because that's what you got. That's all you have to do in Utah. This is Cleveland.
There's
and
nothing
in the
to
NBA,
do there.
Yeah. Everyone focuses on the Cavs because you have the Browns.
Yep.
No words.
Yep.
No None. Words.
Zero.
You have the Indians who just can't get a break anymore after that World Series loss. You got, what, you want to go Columbus, watch the Blue Jackets? Like, nah, the Stanley Cup Finals, it's here. That's what they're doing. Like, you're not getting in. So, you got to watch the Cavs, and you got to watch guys like Rodney Hood score 2 points, and guys like Larry Nance not show up, and Jordan Clarkson not be able to hit a shot. But why does LeBron have 13 assists, though?
It's LeBron's fault. It's LeBron's
it's
fault.
It's not, LeBron. Though.
It really isn't,
Show
though.
Up.
Play basketball, man.
Make shots.
Play basketball, man. Like, honestly, that's what it boils down to, man. I would love to play with that dude, man.
Are you kidding me?
Man, LeBron. Boy, Rodney Hood, man. Oh, my goodness. Because
if you're making shots on LeBron's team, LeBron respects that.
This the same dude that's pouting on the sideline because he's getting put in the game when he didn't want to. So I'm supposed to believe him?
No, he says, like, oh, you're making shots? Let me give you the ball. He's not going to take a tough layup every time. If you can shoot a three, he's going to pass it to you, Korver, okay?
Damn, David, it's tough playing with that guy that likes to give you the ball. It is tough.
Oh, man. Oh, when I'm doing good, he gives me the ball.
Oh, it's tough playing with that guy.
Oh, man, I hate that. Oh, God. Don't pass it to me. I'm just going to miss again.
Oh, man. Well, we didn't get to play your video earlier. Shall we roll the...
Oh, I would love to roll it. Somebody made this. Shout out to the person that made this, man. This one made me, giggle a little
Before
bit.
Before we close out the show, I want to give us one more laugh with this video. You can get audio.
I think it is.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
Where you going?
There you go.
Liquor store.
This is J.R. Smith.
Got some.
Dribbling out of that last
Henny
session.
Some Henny right there. Ty Lue looking like... Yeah.
For our iTunes listeners, it was a video that someone on the internet, God bless the internet,
Brilliant.
And how creative you are.
They are creative.
Showing J.R. Smith dribbling out that last possession instead of on the court into a liquor store to get some Henny. Has anyone actually seen J.R. drink Henny?
Apparently he's like really big on Henny. Like he's spoken of Henny.
Interesting.
And I think he might have had a Henny bottle on that one parade. I think he did.
Oh, yes, he did. Yeah. That's where I was trying to remember where that started.
He had a bottle of Henny like at the parade. It was no shirt on.
Y'all, don't drink Henny because you're going to end up like JR and you're going to forget how to put a shirt on and how to put the ball back up.
I love Hennessy too, man. You just got to wait till the finals over, brother. You can get it in.
Thank you, Celebrate.
You got to focus.
Well, guys, going into games 3 and 4, maybe we can even just end with game 3. Who do you have winning and is it a blowout?
You know, Voldemort James got to go with LeBron. LeBron's going to get me one. That's just what he does.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the same player anymore when he's getting swept. That's not happening anymore. He's giving me one. I don't care if he got to score 70. He's going to give me one. I just want him up out of Cleveland, man. Mm-hmm. I need him up out of there, man. I can't stand somebody that caliber wasting their ability. I don't even care if he goes to Golden State, man. Just get up out of there.
No, it's true, though.
What you thinking, David?
I mean, he's... He's giving me this look like I can't not.
I wish you would.
Pick LeBron. I gotta give him the one. This is the one. Game three is the one. He's gonna take it. I'm not saying it's one of the series, but I'm saying at least for now, until we look further, this is the one he's taking. But he's really like, I'd love to see him go to like Philly.
I wouldn't honestly
complete the process.
I'm from Pennsylvania. Do that.
LeBron.
Spelliamus.
I mean, don't go to Houston. Please don't go to the Lakers. Like, for just like, not just like for me.
Why
not?
Just for me. But we live here. We can go see him. Bloom, you and I can go to the game together. I know it ain't going to be. You can still wear your Clippers jersey.
I couldn't. So I'm saying, Texas game three. Go to Philly, man. Nice there. Have a cheesesteak.
It is. I'm going to be
here we go.
Different over here. Lord. I'm going to give the Warriors game three. I will give the Cavs game four.
Oh,
I'll give them game four.
I didn't expect that one.
Yeah.
Kind of like it's making the gentleman sweep.
Yeah, make it a gentleman sweep.
Because I'll go back to Golden State.
Because when I thought Warriors in six, my two wins for the Cavs were LeBron single-handedly taking one, which, like I said, would have been game one with that performance. And I give the Warriors taking their foot off the gas pedal. My team. I know their tendencies. They always drop a game. I mean, even their prolific run that they had before was still 16-1. So, they're gonna drop a game. It's going to happen this series. Not that I don't believe they could sweep, but I know that they will drop one. So, I give them game four. I think splitting one on the road is usually what the Warriors look for, if not both. So, I think they'll take a commanding game three, and then, you know, maybe all the memes will start up again when they lose and go down 3-1. Well, just to go down 3-1 to start, but... That's how I see it going. And I'm looking forward to the way this all plays out. By the time we're here next week, I don't know where we'll be at in the schedule, but I'm sure we'll be talking about games three and four.
Could be a wrap.
It could. We could have a winner. Wrap.
We could be having like a postseason wrap up. So we'll see. But for tonight, it's been real, guys. I'm looking forward to the rest of this series. Any final thoughts before we sign off? What's up?
Lord Voldemort. Voldemort James.
Voldemort James, I don't got nothing, man. I manifested in this form because I probably ain't going to be able to do it next week because it's going to be over. So I'm trying to summon powers for the greatest basketball player that ever lived, but I don't think it's going to be enough.
No, yeah.
I got nothing. Right. Yo, Rodney Hood, man, I ain't trying to hear that no more. I'm done. If I hear one more quote, you better play some basketball, man.
End of the show shots for Rodney Hood. You were good in Utah, though. Like, let's see it, please.
Ain't no expectations in Utah, and I love Utah. Don't get it wrong. I've been to Utah. The Mormons are always kind of old Voldemort James. But that's not what I don't get paid millions of dollars. So I'm just sitting there chilling with some Mormons. You need to play basketball. I don't have to do that. Ain't my job, man. Damn, call people LeBron James. Bloom, I swear. David Bloom!
I can't.
That's all we've got for this week, guys. Thanks so much for joining us here on NBA Weekly on AfterBuzz TV, Wrestling and Sports. That's where you can find us every week. And do not forget to check us out on iTunes. Be sure to rate us. Leave us a comment. Mm-hmm. Listen to us on your drives tomorrow. We have so much fun here, and we'd love to hear from you. Again, you can find me all over social media at Christine Bean. Guys, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me at David H. Bloom, Instagram and Twitter. Y'all, stay off the Henny. Learn from JR. Not even responsible, y'all. Just leave it alone. go do something else, man.
They was this thing up there. Henny, y'all at your boy, man. Voldemort James at Evan T. Mac, Twitter, Instagram.
All right, guys. That's it for this week. See you next week. Peace.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.